The opinions expressed on this program are those of the hosts and their guests, and not of Blue Sky Broadcasting.
Hey, everybody, welcome in. Thanks for joining us. This is the Tuesday Speak Up Show. My name is Barbara, and my guests today are the four candidates for the East Bonner County Library Board. That election is happening on Tuesday, May 18th. And, of course, if you've already requested your absentee ballots, you probably already have that ballot sitting on your desk. By the way, I want to let you know that next week my guest will be Michael Rosedale. He's the Bonner County Clerk, and under his stewardship are everything about elections. So he's going to be filling us in on new polling places and some of the deadlines that are coming up very quickly for this election. And then the Tuesday after that, on May 11th, I will have the hospital board candidates. And so today's library candidates, hospital candidates, will be on that ballot for May 18th. So this is your opportunity to get to know these people and make an informed choice. We are going to get to our candidates in just a moment as soon as we take a little commercial break.
Since 1990, Brown's Northside Machine and Gear has been your local diesel and heavy equipment expert, serving the logging, trucking, and construction industry. They're now a mobile oil dealer. Plus, they offer the latest in mud flap hangers and a new line of Optronics lighting. Call Brown's today at 263-4643 or stop by the shop located on Triangle Drive behind the Bonner Mall. Their ASC certified master mechanics can help keep your equipment on the road all year long. Open from 7 to 5 weekdays and Saturdays until 1. Brown's Northside Machine and Gear.
BF Quick Lube at the top of the South Hill does more than just lubes and oil changes. They do them quick. Just stop by or call and make an appointment at 208-267-7481. Along with regular maintenance, BF Quick Lube can handle most of your other auto repairs. BF Quick Lube would like to take this time to say thank you to each of their customers for putting their trust and support in their services year after year. For a quick lube and oil change and so much more, visit your friends at BF Quick Lube on the South Hill in Bonner's Ferry.
The Pet Patrol and Trading Post can now be found at our website, NorthIdahoRadio.com. If you have lost or have found an animal, just log on to NorthIdahoRadio.com and click on the Pet Patrol tab. The Trading Post, brought to you by Co-op Gas and Supply, is also available to view and post on our web outlet. The Pet Patrol and Trading Post, a service of North Idaho's radio, KSPT KBFI, and online at NorthIdahoRadio.com.
At the co-op this week, we have some new items to tell you about. In the feed department, Cindy has added a couple of feeds to the Kinixu brand lineup we carry. We now have Kinixu Hog Grower Finisher. This is a 17.5% protein pellet feed that is non-GMO as well as corn and soy free. We also carry Kinixu Timothy Alfalfa Pellet Blend for rabbits. This pellet feed is 17% protein and is non-GMO as well as corn and soy free. Both of these feeds are available in the 50-pound bags. Out in the front parking area, you'll find a variety of soil amendments, including chopped garden straw, peat moss, and compost. In the south yard, we have a great variety of fencing panels, which not only make great portable livestock pens, they also come in pretty handy in the garden for climbing flowers and vegetables. It's all at the Co-op Gas and Supply Company, 125 Tibbetts Lane in Ponderay, 208-263-6820.
Over the years, Wilson Law Firm has become very well established and is one of the most technologically advanced practices in North Idaho. They're able to address all your legal needs, including wills, probates and estates, family law, criminal and civil law, traffic accidents, environmental and water law, corporate and governmental law, and property law. Best of all, Wilson Law offers digital remote services to suit your needs from the comfort, safety, and security of your own home. Wilson Law Firm in Bonner's Ferry. Check out their Facebook page.
North Idaho's Radio, 97.1 FM and 1450 and 1400 AM.
All right, everybody, here we go. You know, we have four candidates, but only two open positions, and so you guys get to choose. Let me give the names of the candidates, and then they are going to introduce themselves to you. By phone, Janine Ash is joining us. She's an incumbent candidate. Kathy Rose is here, a challenger. Jalen Peters is here, also a challenger. And Amy Flint, another incumbent on the board. And we are going to start, Amy, with you, if you'll give yourself an introduction to our audience.
Okay. Thank you, Barbara. My name is Amy Flint, and as Barbara already pointed out, I'm one of the incumbents. I've served as a library trustee for 6 years and been the chairperson for the past two. Lived in Idaho for 30 years, been involved in a lot of community service type work, and had a lot of interest in the community all these years. Had 18 years as a English professor at North Idaho College here in Sandpoint, and prior to that, I was a family services coordinator at Sandpoint Head Start, and I'm a current member, former board member, and president of the Angels Over Sandpoint, and there are a number of other community groups that I've served on the board, but I know we have limited time here, so I'm going to let somebody else introduce themselves.
All right. Thank you. Kathy, please introduce yourself to the audience.
Thanks, Barbara, and hello to everybody out there listening. My name's Kathy Rose. My husband and I moved here to Bonner County about 7 years ago. We wanted a simple life to retire, but we realized that Idaho was going down the same path as some of those blue states, so we decided we needed to stay engaged and involved in our community. I have served as the secretary of the Bonner County Republican Party for 5 years now, and vice president of the Bonner County Republican Women, Inc. for 2 years. I also was elected and served on a school board. I was a treasurer for a U.S. congressional candidate, which was quite an experience dealing with the FEC. I'm just offering my representation because I feel there's a majority voice in this county that is not represented on the board.
All right, Kathy, thank you. And next up, Janine. Janine, who is joining us by phone, and we're so happy, Janine, that you are able to be with us today. So please introduce yourself to our audience.
Thank you so much, Barbara. I have a Master's of Library Science. My name is Janine Ash, and I am an incumbent library trustee since 2013. I have 40 years of library experience, everything from being a page children's librarian, youth services manager, and I retired as library outreach and literacy services manager for a 13-branch system. I'm fiscally conservative. I have had extensive grant writing, program development, budget and personnel management experience, a lot of work on community nonprofits, and I've been board president, treasurer, secretary. I'm an avid supporter of the First Amendment and the right to information. I've won many awards, everything from Reading Association's award to Women's Hall of Fame and Women in County Government. And personally, I'm an Idaho native. I was born here. I've been married 41 years. I have two grown children, one who is being promoted to commander in the Navy. My husband's a retired fire chief, and he's on lots of community boards, too. And I'm an amateur painter, beginning gardener, and book lover. And I just believe that libraries are one of our greatest resources, and the library trustee position should go to those who are most qualified. And that would be me and Amy. Thank you.
All right, Janine, thank you very much. And going with ladies first, we are going to round out the introductions with Jalen Peters. Jalen?
Thank you, Barbara. Yes, I'm Jalen Peters. Hello, everybody. Thanks for having me on the program. I am a father of three boys, been married for almost 20 years. I've been in Idaho for about 4 years, came from Arizona, grew up there my entire life till these last 4 years. And I have been in construction pretty much all of my adult life, and worked to the point of being superintendent of residential construction company in Arizona, Sedona. And so I've overseen budgets, major budgets, and had to balance them and make change orders and do all the things right to balance those. And so I'm very well aware of how that works. I've also been a minister, so I've worked well with people, closely with people, and also overseen and been a part of board meetings for many, many years and budgets as far as that goes. So I'm very well qualified in those arenas. And I also wanted to just say that I love pickleball, and that's my favorite sport. Now I've given up all others. So there's a little bit about me.
Thank you for that. Well, my first question, and we're going to begin, Kathy, with you. You may have already mentioned it, but of all that you said during your introduction, I'd like you to expand on what you think your top qualification is for the board. What is it that you want the listener to say, I'm going to bring this to the board?
Okay, thanks for asking that, because I forgot to mention I was a 22-year business owner. Mm-hmm. So where I did pretty much everything, inventory, budgeting, sales, marketing. So I have a wide base of skills and experience. And I think that's something that would be an asset to the board.
All right, very good. And the very same question, Janine, to you. You gave us a lot of details about your background. I'd like you to take one. Tell us what you think is your top qualifier.
Well, I would have to say that, of course, it's my experience. Working in libraries for 40 years, knowing budgets, being in management, being in the trenches, I really know everything about libraries, and my work on the Board of Trustees has only helped that, and also my work as a volunteer at the library, too. I help people with tech issues, so I have a wide range of experience that you really just can't beat.
That's probably more than one thing.
Okay.
I'm probably going to call everybody in to keep it all the way that we're going to move through this, but thank you for that. And last, Amy.
I think the most important thing about me is that I absolutely love libraries and I believe in them. I've been a lover of libraries since I started reading and worked at the college library at my university. And I think that's an important element for a trustee is to really have a great love for libraries.
All right. Thank you for that. Well, I know that everyone, at the top of their list has been a concern, and that is about masks one way or the other. So I want each of you to clarify what your position is on masks as it is in the mandate now in the library, masks required, why you believe what you believe, what you believe and why you believe it. So we're going to start, Janine, with you.
Okay. I have supported masks in the library based on recommendations from trusted science sources, CDC, WHO, and other information. I have recently, though, been questioning whether we can lessen our policy and be able to let people in who do not want to wear masks.
Can I interrupt you for just a moment? One position.
Okay.
What is your position on current position on masks and why?
Current position on masks is to revise the library policy on masks and let people come in without masks as long as it is safe. And we are working on ways to make sure that it's safe and to be able to do that as well.
All right. Thank you for that. Jalen, next to you.
Thank you. My position on masks is that they shouldn't be mandated or required. If people want to choose to wear them, they can. And nothing should be mandated, especially in a public location like the library that's tax funded. I believe it's unconstitutional to do that. And if people that pay taxes aren't allowed to come, then maybe they shouldn't have to pay that portion of taxes. So that's a little bit of my view. And if I could speak to one qualification from the previous question, I think for some reason I was overlooked on that real quick. I think to mention I'm highly administrative. I think that's a big quality that I bring to the table on this board. And I'm not a yes man, so I don't just go with the flow because everybody's doing it. If I feel like there's something else that is appropriate to choose. So. Yeah.
All right. Thank you for that. Yes. If you have something that you need to add, that's good. Amy, next to you on the mail, what's your position and why?
Well, my current position is different from my former position. My current position is that the library needs to revisit its policy and consider making some appropriate changes based on current research and especially statistical information from Bonner County itself.
Okay. So your position is not to take the masks away, but to visit the question.
I am open to different possibilities. The trustees have to collaborate. And so that's where I think I have a pretty strong ability to do that as the chair of the board. And it's just so important that everybody's voice is heard. Everybody has equal say around the table. And so I don't feel my view is all that important. And the truth is I'm very open-minded and I often don't have a view and then feel like I have to stick to it. I'm always welcome to new information.
All right. And Kathy Rose, what's your position on masks?
I'm against the mandate. I encourage people to wear them if they want to feel safer. It's a personal decision and responsibility. Panhandle Health did not institute their mask mandate until the end of November, and they have since retracted it. But the library seems to be a holdout. And it is a public building supported by taxpayers, and I think the taxpayers should have free access. Can I just read two sentences from one of their policies?
Of course.
Under one of their policy statements, a barrier-free environment that promotes its educational role and permits a peaceful, undisturbed use of library collection and services by patrons. The right of all patrons to peaceably access library facilities, collections, and services shall not be abridged. And I feel the mask mandate is an abridgment.
All right. Thank you for that. I have a question then. Since everyone seems to be thinking about not having masks, so for the two incumbents, I'm assuming that you voted to have the mask mandate currently. So, and I'm going to get Kathy and Jalen, you in on this, but what is it that you're looking for that will create a situation where you say, okay, we don't need masks anymore? Is it a number? Is it a date? What is it?
In my mind, there are a number of criteria. Mm-hmm. The first one would be that we have a high enough percentage of staff members who have been vaccinated if they choose to do that.
What is that percent?
This is yet to be determined. These are just some of my possibilities that I think might be workable, but nothing has been determined yet.
Okay, excellent. And Janine, what is it that you're looking at to say, okay, we don't need masks anymore?
Oh, I had others.
Oh,
sorry.
No.
Okay. There's not just going to be, in my mind, there shouldn't be just a single criteria. The board will need to meet and determine what those criteria should be, or decide that maybe we're in a position to remove the requirement already. But we need to have enough information to base a good decision on.
Okay, and I'm asking what that information is. I'm going to move it to Janine. What is the information you need to take the mask mandate down?
Well, I agree with Amy, and right now the library director is collecting some of that information on how many people have been vaccinated who work at the library. I think some outside resources, how many cases there are in Bonner County. I don't know what that number is yet. We haven't determined that yet. I think we need to look at maybe we have a day or two where people would need to wear masks to come into the library. And I'm not sure about that either. That's just a proposal. We're also looking at ways to get more ventilation in the library so that way it's safer for everyone. So at our next meeting, we will be determining what the criteria will be to remove the mask policy.
All right, thank you.
Change the mask policy.
Okay, moving on, Kathy and Jalen, you are in a position where you say, no, we don't need masks now. You're hearing what it is they're waiting on. Ventilation, number of vaccinations, collecting info, number of cases. What is it that has moved you to say, no, we're ready now to take that mandate off? And I'll go first to Kathy.
Well, I think this should have been discussed at the time they were discussing imposing the mask mandate. what's going to be the termination of this policy? Otherwise, it's open-ended, and we could be here a year from now. There's no solid criteria set for when the mask mandate is going to be repealed.
All right. Thank you. Jalen, the same question to you.
How I would make the decision is based on personal liberties. We live in America, and we are a free country to choose what we do and don't do within the law. And these mandates are outside the Constitution, which is no law at all. And I believe that, if we follow personal liberties, then we should not require this. When you look at the survivability rate is 99.9% amongst most ages. And this isn't a virus that is unbeatable without masks. And I believe that we can remove the masks and let people choose. We shouldn't have vaccinations as a requirement, especially in a public location. It's our body, our right to choose in many different areas of society. So I believe vaccinations is also one of them.
All right. Very good. Thank you to all of you. We're up against a break. We're going to take that break right now, and we'll be right back.
Have you visited Grünberg Schloss Collector's Cabinet lately? They have preparedness and homesteading books and supplies, emergency rations, food storage supplies, and they now stock ammo and knives as well. Of course, Grünberg Schloss carries U.S. and world coins and paper money, gold and silver, bullion, jewelry, and more. Open Monday through Friday from 10 to 5 on Triangle Drive just south of the Kootenai Cutoff Road in Ponderay. Call 208-263-6060. Grünberg Schloss Collector's Cabinet, 263-6060.
At Northern Quest, we're celebrating our 20th anniversary. But with over $220 grand in cash and prizes up for grabs, you could be celebrating a whole lot more, like a new Ford Bronco Sport in your driveway or more cash in your pocket. We've also got hotel discounts for Camas Rewards members, dining specials, spa and shopping discounts, and anniversary cocktails all month long. Northern Quest $220,000 anniversary celebration. Details at northernquest.com. The Kalispell tribe has always had a tradition of giving back, even when there wasn't much to give. But since opening Northern Quest 20 years ago, we've been able to give back more than ever, with 1,500 jobs, $20 million donated to the local community and nonprofits, and a $275 million economic impact on the region annually. So here's to the Kalispell hospitality that made it all possible, and to another 20 years of even better days ahead.
Bi-Mart's latest savings book is on its way to you now. Watch for it in your mailbox this week. You'll find 16 pages packed full of everything you need to turn your deck or patio into a backyard getaway. Get those family barbecues fired up with a new Next Grill gas grill. Spruce up your garden with Bi-Mart fertilizer and explore the Great Northwest in a Hydro-Force raft. Our members-only savings books with store-wide savings is out now. Bi-Mart, employee-owned, real value every day.
Hi, I'm head football coach Ryan Knowles from Sandpoint High School, urging you to help out the Bulldog football program by participating in our inaugural truck raffle. Tickets are $5 each and are available now from student-athletes or online at spbulldogs.com for a chance to win a brand-new 2021 Chevy Colorado from Taylor & Son Chevy. Proceeds will allow players to earn merchandise incentives for the upcoming season. The winning raffle ticket will be drawn during halftime of our homecoming game on Friday, October 1st.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
KBFI, KSPT, North Idaho's radio.
All right, everybody, welcome back in. We are talking to the four East Bonner County Library candidates. They are Janine Ash, Kathy Rose, Jalen Peters, and Amy Flint, but only two of them can serve on the library board. So the beauty of America is you guys get to make the choice. So this is your opportunity to get to know them a little bit and to help make up your mind. We're going to move the topic now to technology. We're going to start with Jalen. And my question is, what do you bring to the table in terms of technology, either your expertise or your experience or what you think about technology and how it does or can better serve in the library? So, Jalen, that's kind of a mouthful.
Yeah, it's okay.
Technology.
I mean, I believe technology is important. Obviously, the way our world is going, it's hard to stay away from technology in almost every aspect of our lives. And so I believe it's important. I believe that it should be something that where the material, the books, availability, rentals, and even the financial documents, which I find are not, it's interesting, are not online from the library. They're just in binders down in the basement is what I was informed. But, you know, I do believe technology is important. I personally don't have any major background with it other than using it on my phone and in different places. But I do support it, and I do support moving that direction. But I also highly support the hard copies of books still today, especially with young people and children and their minds at that moldable stage of needing that hands-on experience, and even within different seminars and things that they can attend where they can put their hands on something and see something physically. I think that's very important as well. But, yeah, I do support technology and moving that direction.
All right, very good. Amy, what are your thoughts?
Well, I have a pretty strong technology background, partly because of my teaching with North Idaho College, because I did teach online and face-to-face classes both. I've been, even though I'm not a digital native, like young people today often are, I embraced it when it first became available, and really feel there's a lot of possibility with technology, and the library has definitely moved in that direction. I do agree with Jalen, however, that there's something very important about having the tactile experience, and it's also your sense of smell when you go in, and the books and the paper and the ink, and there's just something magical. And maybe this is partly because of my love for libraries from the time I was very, very little, but I agree that especially for young people, it's very important. And we have a number of patrons who come in and just like to be able to sit down and relax and look at magazines. And so I feel like that's a challenge for libraries today, is to be able to bridge those two areas, both the physical space and the technology space, and I think we're doing an excellent job with that.
Janine, what do you think about technology? Any new thoughts for us?
Well, I love technology. I have a very strong background in technology through my work, and as I said, I currently volunteer helping people with their technology issues. I love the fact that we have gone into ebooks, audiobooks, movies, and you can get all of this online whether you're in the library or not. And I think we need to continue to see where technology is going and be at the forefront of it and try new things out. But still, books, in a nationwide survey, people have said that books are still what they think of at libraries, and it has to be a combination of the both.
All right, thank you. Well, Kathy, we're having a kumbaya moment here on technology. What can you tell us? What do you think about all this?
Well, I do agree that books are an experience. It's more than just a visual. It touches many senses. And it has like a historical type thing too, where you just like, it's a piece of our history that you can touch. I do agree that it's almost the duty of the library to stay up to date on technology, as access is the main service of the library. Mm-hmm. So we do need to find that balance. With technology does come responsibility as well. So there's policies that need to be introduced to make sure that the technology is used properly.
All right, very good. My next question is, I've put here one recommendation, so let's start with one and maybe we can expand it. But if you have one recommendation for the library, and obviously that would be a recommendation for improvement, what would it be? And Janine, I'm going to start with you, please.
I think one of the most important things that we need to look at is the library is inundated with youth after school. Luckily, we were able to do the expansion, and we did that while I was chairperson of the board. And we have a room devoted to teens and youth, but it's not big enough. So one recommendation I would have is for looking for ways to expand areas or convert areas so there is a place for youth to go to after school so they can interact with books, they can interact with technology, they can do the 3D things that we have there. So in the coming future, I think that's one area we need to really focus on.
All right. So after school facility expansion. Next up, Amy.
Well, an immediate need that the library has is to purchase a new bookmobile. The current one we have is over 20 years old, and it's starting to cost an incredible amount of money to keep it running. And it's also extremely dated by today's standards in terms of what we can make available to our more rural patrons who just are not able to necessarily easily come into Sandpoint and visit the library. And it's an important service, one that's been very well used. And so a fairly high priority for me, at least in the immediate future, is going to be purchasing a new bookmobile.
Okay. Kathy, what would be at the top of your list?
Well, I saw on the website that they have some community partners, and there's three that are listed. I think that needs to be expanded. I think we need to get more community partners involved with the library.
And what would you see those partners doing?
Helping with events and grants and just wherever their experience would fit in.
All right. Thank you for that. And Jalen, what about you?
Probably would be along the lines of the marketplace for ideas where, you know, the seminars and the webinars and classes, et cetera, and all the things that are offered at the library has equal representation across the board. I've noticed over the last few months there's a few things offered here and there. One was how white supremacy is started amongst people and how it begins in their lives. And I didn't see any equal representation of another seminar that would be something contrary to that. Also, global warming, a seminar was presented for global warming, the theory of that, and there wasn't equal representation of that. I truly feel like the marketplace for ideas, essentially capitalism for ideas, where something is presented and there's maybe an opposing view presented, and people can choose with the facts and the logic and what is presented very clearly on both sides. And if something is suppressed, then you're basically offering one view or one side, and I don't feel that that's right. So just to encourage the happenings at the library to be that, where the marketplace for ideas is really kind of at the forefront of material or classes or whatever is offered.
All right. Now, this next question is going to be a little bit hard because you probably haven't thought about this, but a lot of times I ask you specifically for improvement, and I'm not surprised everyone wants to add something. I'm going to ask you to think, is there anything that you would take away from the current library situation, maybe a consolidation or, you know, something like that? And if you can't come up with anything, that's okay. I'm not, like, looking for anything, but I just want to go to the opposite side of the coin rather than, you know, let's just keep adding. Is there anything over here that needs to be maybe de-emphasized or consolidated? And I'm going to go back to that same order again on this other side of the question. So Janine, Ash, we're going to start with you.
Thank you, Barbara. Throughout my 40 years of experience through libraries, things have changed dramatically. When I first started, we did not have the internet. We did not have computers, for example. So we had to add things, and you can't just continue to add services without really evaluating your current services and thinking what you have to take away. So I've been in the process of doing that many years and many times. But where our library is right now, I think that we have a very good balance. If a new technology comes forward, we will need to address that. While I've been on the board, we've needed to change positions. We had to put more emphasis in the youth services position, for example, because of how many youth are there. And so you can't really keep expanding staff. You have to stay within your budget, and you have to be a good steward for the people's money of this Bonner County Library District. So nothing I can think of immediately to take away, but I am aware and prepared to revise services as needed.
All right. Thank you for that. Amy, you're up next.
Well, I don't believe there's any immediate need to remove anything. However, it is important that we constantly review how much use we subscribe to so many databases and digital resources, and it's important to constantly be monitoring how they're used, because we're spending taxpayer monies on these resources. And we do occasionally make changes. We eliminate certain resources that are not being used. Sometimes we decide to encourage further use of them, because sometimes it's just the patrons are not really aware of what the resource is or how it works or what it could do for them. So I think just keeping tabs on where we are with what we're making available to the community and tweaking it when it needs to be modified.
Okay, so nothing at this time?
No.
Kathy, to you.
So you're asking me what I think needs to be eliminated
that
from
would
the
improve
library?
The library, right? If there's anything, there
yes,
may
the mask mandate. Sorry.
Okay. I think you took the words out of Jalen's mouth, Olivia. All right. Is there anything else other than that?
I can't wait to. to serve on the board so I can actually get my hands into what is going on at the library and behind the scenes and all. And then I would love to work on consolidating or modifying or, you know, getting rid of obsolete whatever procedures there are.
Mm-hmm. All right. Very good. Jalen, to you.
Thanks. Thanks, Kathy, for taking my answer. But
I had a feeling.
That's okay. I would remove the mask mandate immediately, but... it is tough not being on the board and not knowing all the ins and outs and the workings, inner workings of what's offered and all of that. I do want to investigate that and do assessments of what the needs are. And I did have somebody tell me many years ago that your not-to-do list is more important than your to-do list because you only have a limited amount of time. And so I agree with the question highly. I just need to probably get in there and do some investigation on it. I do feel like I would like to improve on the volunteers and employees and how they respond to patrons in a courteous or kind or compassionate way. And I've had some experiences with them that I do feel can be improved upon. That's not so much a not to do, but I did want to throw that in there.
All right. Very good. We're going to take another break. It's going to happen right now. We'll be right back.
At the co-op this week, we have some new items to tell you about. In the feed department, Cindy has added a couple of feeds to the Kinnick-Sue brand lineup we carry. We now have Kinnick-Sue Hog Grower Finisher. This is a 17.5% protein pellet feed that is non-GMO as well as corn and soy free. We also carry Kinnick-Sue Timothy Alfalfa Pellet Blend for rabbits. This pellet feed is 17% protein and is non-GMO as well as corn and soy free. Both of these feeds are available in the 50-pound bags. Out in the front parking area, you'll find a variety of soil amendments, including chopped garden straw, peat moss, and compost. In the south yard, we have a great variety of fencing panels, which not only make great portable livestock pens, they also come in pretty handy in the garden for climbing flowers and vegetables. It's all at the Co-op Gas and Supply Company, 125 Tibbetts Lane in Ponderay, 208-263-6820.
Now is the time to gear up and get those spring projects together. Let Thick and Thin Beams of Bonner's Ferry, your hometown sawmill, help you. Spruce up your home with new flooring, a decorative mantel or desktop, or beams up to 44 feet long. Just about anything you can dream up, the guys at TNT can help design. Be sure to check with Thick and Thin Lumber first for all of your wood product needs. For fast, reliable service and competitive prices, come see the mill at 4355 Cow Creek Road or check out their website, tntbeams.com.
Selkirk Press would like to give a warm welcome to all their new customers from Mountain Sky and say thank you to all of their existing customers and local support. Selkirk Press is proud to be your local print solution for all your needs. Brochures, forms, envelopes, letterhead, and business cards. They also do bulk mailing and EDDM mail prep. Your one-stop shop for all your printing and mailing needs. Selkirk Press on Industrial Drive by the Sandpoint Airport.
I'm Tiffany. I have some tips for you on how to quit smoking like I did. First, I did some reading about it. I found a lot of great advice on how to quit smoking and picked out the ways I thought would work best for me. I started by setting a quit date. Then I threw out my ashtrays, lighters, and matches. I did other things too, like exercising more, and it worked. But I'd still get cravings, especially on long car rides. To help me with that, I put a picture of my mother in my car. She died of lung cancer from smoking cigarettes when I was only 16. Now I have a 16-year-old daughter. That picture of my mother reminds me that I don't want to miss all the things my daughter is going to do in her life, including turning 17.
You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and CDC.
North Idaho's radio, KSPT and KBFI.
Everybody, here we go. We're coming down to the wire. I'm asking all of my candidates to, each one is going to ask the other three A questions. So we're going to start, Amy, with you. Ask Jalen, Kathy, and Janine one quick question.
How do each of you personally use the library?
Jalen.
I come there with my kids when I'm allowed without a mask. So I haven't been there in the last year and a half. But, I come there and we research and check out books and take part in some of the hands-on activities.
All right. Kathy?
Yeah, I've used the computers when I didn't have internet when I first moved in. And I've used the Seed Library and as well as movies, DVDs.
All right. And Janine, this is probably an easy question for you, but how do you use the library?
I've used the library all the time ever since I was a child. And we did not have enough money to have books, so I use the library, and I continue to use the library now as well as volunteer for it.
All right. Jalen, what's your question?
What's your philosophy on selecting new books for the library?
Okay.
That's basically it.
I didn't mean to interrupt. We'll go to Amy first.
Well, actually, that question is irrelevant to the role of the Board of Trustees members because it's library staff that makes these decisions. And the trustees, fortunate for us because we have enough to be dealing with, we do not make direct decisions about purchasing materials.
Okay. And Janine, is that your same answer?
I would agree, but I would also say that the library has a book selection policy that you can find online, and it's based on the Library Bill of Rights and the First Amendment and ensuring everyone has access to all types of information.
All right. And Kathy, how do you respond?
I was actually under the impression that the director of the library was pretty much involved in picking out what books were coming in.
Along with the staff.
Yes.
I'm hearing. All right. Very good. Good question. Kathy, what's your question for the other three candidates?
Yes, just give me one example of how the library markets its services or should market its services.
All right, and let's begin with Amy.
Okay, we are a little bit in transition with that right now. A couple months ago, before we lost our marketing person, we had articles in both the Reader and the Bee Weekly. And we do a lot of community outreach and work with local schools. And Facebook is a huge thing because that's one of the best marketing tools available right now because it's so easy for citizens to access. And so we are still currently have a Facebook presence, and we've just recently redone our website, and it's much more user-friendly. And so that I think that's been very positive for marketing too.
All right. And Jalen?
I don't know exactly how it's being marketed now, but I would probably second that in using all the means possible, whether it's online, Facebook, those platforms, but also hard copies of newspaper and different places like that. I think catching it at all avenues would be wise.
All right, very good. And Janine?
I agree with what a lot of people have said about marketing marketing tools, but my philosophy with libraries is that you always think of libraries as being without walls, that you go out into the community, you take your materials out into the community, you go to senior centers, you go to schools, and in addition to the traditional newspaper articles, you just have to get out into the community and collaborate with other organizations and provide them the information they need.
All right, very good. Well, now see, you've all been so condensed, I've got a little more time for one more quick question. And this may be an obvious one, and it's going to...
Barbara? Yes. I didn't get a chance to ask my question.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't write them down, so I'm... Okay. Oh, thank you so much. Janine, what's your question?
I just want to say I appreciate that everyone is applying for this position and wanting to do community service, but I wonder, this mostly for two people here, is would you have applied for this position had it not been for the mask policy?
All right. Well, let's go ahead and start with Kathy on that, to answer that.
Sure. I actually thought about running last time, but there was somebody who stepped up. So when the time came, I put my name in again.
All right.
So I would have run anyway.
All right. Very good. Jalen?
Yeah, I believe I would. I believe the political climate in our nation is it's pretty polarizing. And so the last few years I've been really focused on it and understanding that I probably can't run for something on a federal or state level. And so I'm starting locally. I want to build my family up and then go from there. And so, yeah, I think I would have ran even if the mask mandates weren't in place.
All right, very good. And Amy, I'm going to just tweak that question a little bit. Why are you running again? For you've served for 6 years. Why is it that you're running again?
I just feel like our current board is really highly functioning. I feel like I'm making a major contribution to my community. I believe this position takes at least 2 years to get up to speed on because there's so many different elements that you need to learn about. If you saw the trustee's manual, it's like a binder this thick, about 5-6 inches thick. And I feel like I have a lot more to give.
All right, very good. We're up against closing statements. I'm going to keep it with you. Say goodbye to our audience.
Okay, thank you everybody for listening, and I hope you'll consider the candidates with a high degree of experience and a love for the library. Thank you. Amy Flint.
Kathy?
Yes. I believe my experience is diverse, and this board needs some more diversity on it. I offer my representation to those who don't have a voice currently on the board. And I ask for your vote May 18th or early voting starting on May 3rd. And you can vote for two for this position.
All right. Very good. Janine?
I really believe that I am the most qualified, along with Amy Flint, for this position, and I hope to continue serving because I just love our library, and please vote for me, Janine Ash, and Amy Flint on May 18th or before.
All right. Thank you, and Jalen.
Yeah, I just wanted to wrap up by saying there's an email going out to all the Democrats in the area saying that there's extremists running for the board positions for their censorship ideas, which I do not agree with censorship. So just to make that clear for everybody, my name is Jalen Peters. Vote for me on May 18th.
All right. Very good. Well, thank you for sharing that. Thank you to all the candidates who are here today. I wish you all the best. Next week, Michael Rosedale, Bonner County Clerk. Until then, this is Barbara saying take care and be blessed.